All right, good morning, everyone. I think we're situated enough. I don't think this is on.
How about now? Oh, much better. Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for your patience as we just get situated this morning. God blessings to you and to everyone on Zoom. I'm glad you guys are logged on and here today, and those in person here enjoying this beautiful sunshine and all the ways God has blessed us. As Christians, there is a tension in life between two realities. And I don't think we talk about this enough. And because we don't talk about it enough, I think it leads to a lot of discouragement and unmet expectations in the life of Christians. And so this morning, we're going to be addressing this tension between two realities as we live out our faith. And the tension is this. On one hand, we have the future promises of God that you and I, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're anointed as children of God. God puts his anointing on us. We are adopted into his kingdom. We are called heirs of his kingdom. We are sons and daughters of the king. We are granted victory over sin. And we ultimately have a life of blessing and God's blessing and enjoyment. And so that's one hand. We've got these promises of God, these wonderful realities of our anointing. But then on the other hand, there are our current experiences that we experience day to day, like yesterday. And often in our life, it doesn't necessarily look much like, there goes our camera. I'm gonna keep speaking, they can hear me, right? While we get that situated. Our day-to-day life doesn't always match up with this anointing that we have in our life. So God's anointed us, and yet we experience difficulty. We experience trials. We are sons and daughters of the king, and yet we have a boss we report to at work that disrespects us and treats us bad. We are heirs of the kingdom and all of the of all of God's blessing, and yet we have a hard time paying the bills. We have the frustrations of dealing with people, difficulties in life. Often life is one of struggle and worry. And so there's this tension. We have the anointing of God, but yet we don't always experience that in the day-to-day life. And so this morning, you know, we've been going through this series talking about the covenants of God, and it's been a real valuable time in a time of craziness in the world to pause and pull our heads up and look to the sky, look to the heavens, and to fix our attention on what God is doing and how he's at work and what he's been doing throughout history and these covenants of God he's been making to his people and how he's fulfilling those. But the reality is, we talk about those things, and the reality of it, though, we're in a time of waiting right now for the complete fulfillment of those covenants. They've been fulfilled in Christ, but experientially, they haven't been fully experienced yet for you and I in a lot of ways. So that's what we're talking about this morning, is how do we deal with the difficulties that we face while waiting for the full fulfillment of God's promises? So while we're waiting for God's promises, how do we experience and wait, go through the difficulties that we face? So today, to help us with this, we're going to be looking at the life of David. David, God makes a covenant to David, which we're going to be looking at next week. But today, I want to look at the life of David. This is some 200 or 300 years after what we talked about with Moses last week. And so as we're looking at the life of David, we're going to see he is a good person to look at on this topic, because David, at a young age, was anointed by God. So God comes to David and anoints him when he's like a teenager. He anoints him and says, "You, David, you are anointed as the next king of Israel." So this wonderful anointing, a huge anointing of blessing and favor, to say you're going to be the next king of Israel. Well, that'd be great, right? Like, okay, you're going to be the king, your most powerful person. That's a wonderful blessing. But yet he had to live his life in this sort of tension, because as much as he was anointed to be king at the young age, he wasn't king at the young age. There was actually another king, King Saul. And King Saul was a prideful man, and that pride led to jealousy. And so when he hears that there's this other person that's going to be king, it makes him jealous. And in turn, Saul wants to go kill David. And so David's life, even though he had an anointing at a young age, had lots of ups and lots of downs. The victories are awesome, like the whole Goliath thing. That's historic, big victory. He had a lot of military victories. God blessed him and all these military battles with the nations around him. And he had all this, a lot of favor in that side. But then a lot of struggles, because King Saul wanted him dead. And when the king wants you dead, typically you end up dead. And so what King Saul has done is he's identified 3,000 of his best elite, most elite soldiers. And he says, all right, we're going to go hunt down this David guy and kill him, because I'm not having this. And all the nation, they were all infatuated with David. They were singing songs like Saul kills his thousands, but David kills his tens of thousands and stuff like that. So, and Saul wasn't having it. So he wanted David dead. So David, even though he had this wonderful anointing from God, he spent most of his 20s on the run, hiding out in caves, in the desert, in the wilderness, in hiding, fearful for his life as the king and 3,000 of his best soldiers are hunting him. And so here David lived with this tension, a tension of being anointed by God, but yet his experience of life wasn't matching up with that anointing. And so what we want to do is look at the life of David and see what in him helped him to remain steadfast through that. And how we're going to see this morning is we're going to look together at Psalm 57. So you can open your Bibles to Psalm 57. Throughout this series, we've been spending our time in narratives, in story, where it talks about historically, here's what happened, here's what happened, here's what happened. Today, we're moving off of that, and we're going to the Psalms. And the Psalms is beautiful because the Psalms offers us a glimpse inside of the mind and heart of David. So this Psalm 57 that we're going to read, this is a psalm that David wrote while he was hiding in a cave from Saul. So he's got this anointing, but so it seems like life was going to be great. Instead of being great, life was actually pretty lousy. He's on the run and he's hiding out in a cave. And this is what he writes in Psalm 57. It gives us a glimpse into his mind, glimpse into his heart about what he was experiencing. And we're going to see today that he remained steadfast. He remained steady, unmoved in his waiting for God and his anointing. And so let's see together Psalm 57. This is what it says. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. Verse 4, I'm in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. Verse 7, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Let's pray. God, I pray for your perspective this morning. I pray that by your spirit, you would give us discernment and perspective. We would view our lives as you would like us to view them. We would view our circumstances in the way you would like us to view them. And we would see them all through the lens of you on your throne. Thank you so much for your anointing on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here in Psalm 57, the key verse that kind of builds up to and the response to is that verse 7, where he writes, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. So here we see David saying twice, steadfast. He says, I'm steadfast. My heart is steadfast. And when he says it twice, that's like the equivalent of an underline, of a bold, of an italics, of all caps. He's really going out of his way to highlight how he is steadfast. And I wanted you to note the intentionality of that. Doesn't it sound like it's like resolve he's sharing? Like, I am steadfast. He's like speaking it into being. I'm steadfast. My heart, oh God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. And this idea of this unwavering, the firmness of it, him remaining steadfast in the midst of all the chaos that's in his life. And that's our goal. That's my goal for us as City Lights Church, for you as children of God, to remain steadfast, fixed on your anointing as his children, in spite of the craziness that you're experiencing in life, that you would remain steadfast in the midst of that. So our central truth this morning, and the main point we're going to be talking about is this: remaining steadfast in waiting requires intentional focus. Remaining steadfast and waiting requires intentional focus. So as we're dealing with the difficulties that as we wait for the full fulfillment of God's promises, if we're going to remain steadfast in that, it's going to require some intentionality in our focus. It's going to, when I say that focus, about where we put our minds, what we dwell on, where we allow our thoughts to go. And talking about the idea of this of having discipline with our mind. Because left to its own, like when difficulties come, we turn to fear and worry, maybe revenge, anger. These are the things that naturally come. Those don't take any intentionality. That just kind of naturally comes when we're facing the trials and difficulties we face in life. So instead, we're going to contrast that with intentionality. Remaining steadfast and waiting requires intentionality and focus. We're going to see that David, you know, he went from fear to faith, from worry to calm, from despair to hope, all based on how he, the intentionality was focused on what he focused on. So we're going to be looking through this passage in Psalm 57 to look at what David focused on to allow him to remain steadfast in the goal that we too would be able to focus on those things to remain steadfast in the midst of our struggles and trials as we wait for God's fulfillment of his anointing in our life. Okay, so first from verses 1, 2, and 3, we see that from David to focus not on my abilities, but on God's power. There's going to be three of these, all right? So the first one, focus not on my abilities, but on God's power. Usually when we're faced with an issue, we love to kind of take inventory of what we have to offer. We love to be self-sufficient. We love to say, I got this, to focus on our own abilities. If we were David, we'd be like, okay, I know they're after me, but this is no problem. I can handle this. Let's see. I'm good with a sling. I killed that Goliath guy. That's good for something. I led armies too, and I had victories. So I have a lot of military strategy and all that. I bet I can reason my way out of this and strategize and get to the bottom of this and figure this thing out, focusing on his own abilities. If that were us, that's probably what we would do. But we notice that's not what David did. He gave us an example not to focus on my abilities, but to focus on God's power. Look at what he says in verse 1. He says, have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me. Again, that repeating. We're seeing repeating a lot in this, to highlight something, to show the significance of it. He says, have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me. That word mercy, he realizes he's at the mercy of God, that he's not going to be able to figure his way out of this. It was completely in God's hands. And that idea of mercy also includes this idea of undeserved favor. So when mercy is undeserved favor, so when he says have mercy on me, he's not saying, hey God, here I am, your anointed one, you owe me, come on, you know me, let's handle this. Instead, he goes to God and says, have mercy on me, have mercy. And he says, for in you I take refuge, I take shelter, I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. That phrase, I take refuge in the shadow of your wings, it's like picture a baby bird huddled up under mama bird with her mama bird's big strong wings and baby bird settling in there under those wings. That's the terminology David uses to describe his current position, not focusing on his abilities, but on God's power. And he says, I'll take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Also acknowledging that the thing he's facing is temporary compared to the eternal God. Verse 2, he says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. That word vindicates means to complete or to finish. The God who finishes me, who completes me. Verse 3, he sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. Isn't it beautiful how David, in the midst of laying in a cave, hiding out because there's all these people trying to kill him, he identifies God's love and God's faithfulness. Because I don't know about you, but usually what I do when I'm going through something hard, I often forget about God's love and God's faithfulness. And I start worry and I think, oh, this is terrible. And then the enemy starts saying, God doesn't love you. Clearly he doesn't love you because look at the circumstances you're in. God's not faithful. God's not around. He's not even here. He's not even around. And we start believing those lies. But here David models for us. He said he focuses while hiding out in this cave. He focuses on God's love and his faithfulness. So first we saw that David focused not on his own abilities, but on God's power. And that's an example for us. Focus not on my abilities, but on God's power. Second, verses 4 through 6 is an example to focus not on my circumstances, but on God's sovereignty. focus not on my circumstances, but instead on God's sovereignty. That word sovereignty means God's rule, God's power, his reign, everything under his hands, under his control, his sovereignty, that he is sovereign over all things. Typically, when faced with a problem, it goes like this in my brain. I size up the problem, and I begin to fixate on that problem. I begin to tear apart that problem. I think through every detail of that problem, the difficulty that I'm facing, and how I can solve that problem. And then if I can handle that problem, then I handle the problem, like it's under my power. And if I can't handle the problem, then typically I stress and worry until I could somehow figure out a way to handle that problem. And all that thinking that is under my, I focus so much on the circumstances and forget about God's sovereignty. Look at how David talks in this situation. He says, I'm in the midst of, verse 4, I'm in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. So here David acknowledges the problem. Man, all these people are after me, and it's crazy, and I'm in bad shape here. But then he doesn't dwell on it. Look what he goes through right next in verse 5. He doesn't fixate on the problem. He goes straight to God's sovereignty. Verse 5, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. So he immediately identifies God is above all things. He's over all things, heaven and earth, meaning his sovereignty, his control over all things. And he takes comfort in that. Look how that changes his perspective. Look at verse 4. Now look at verse 6. He says, they, those enemies, they spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. Look at how he identifies at the end of verse 6. He says, all this problem I got, here's what they've done. But you know what? They're defeated. They've dug a pit for me, but they have fallen into it themselves. He's so confident. He speaks past tense, even though they're still out there and they're still trying to get him. But just his change of perspective allows him to speak in a past tense mode about his about this difficulty that he's facing, that they have already, so they've dug a pit for me. Yeah, but they've already fallen into it, even though they hadn't actually fallen into it yet. Again, because he was focusing on, not on his circumstances, but on God's sovereignty. And isn't it interesting that David, when he cries out for mercy in verse 1, he's not saying, have mercy on me, O Saul. O Saul, have mercy on me. Like Saul's the one that has the power. It feels like that because he's the king, and he's got 3,000 men, and he's after me, and it could feel like this is all in Saul's hand. But God, but David acknowledges who's really in control is God. So he says, have mercy on me, O God. O God, have mercy on me. In the midst of our problems, we need to be reminded that God is bigger, that God is sovereign, and God is in control. I don't know if you guys all know Casey. Casey's one of my favorite people in the city. She was came regularly to the City Lights Church in our early days when we were at the community center. And even though she hasn't been able to be with us on Sundays in person for years, she continues to pray for City Lights Church, send support to City Lights Church. And she really loves and cares about each one of you. And what I love so much about Casey is she always says the same phrase over and over. And if you know Casey, you know what I'm going to say. She always says, well, God's in charge. And she says that probably three times per conversation I have with her. Whatever we talk about, she says, well, God's in charge. And that's just her motto, her mantra that she keeps saying. And such a wonderful example to me of reminding myself that God is in charge, that he is sovereign. And that changes the circumstances that we face. When I'm going through something difficult, I can remember, oh, God's in charge. And that changes things. It changed things for David as he's hiding out in this cave about how he viewed his problem, and it does for us too. So this is an example of focusing not on my circumstances, not fixing on the problems, but instead on God's sovereignty. And then finally, the third one, verses 8 through 11, David writes, right after, so verse 7, he says, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. And then starting in verse 8, he models for us to focus not on my woes, but on God's praise. Focus not on my woes, but on God's praise. It's so easy to fall into woe is me. Right, we're like, oh man, things are terrible. How are you doing? Oh, it's terrible, and things are difficult, and everything's hard, and things are lousy, and it could never been worse. And how could things be like this? And woe is me. You throw a big pity party, invitation one, malaise, all that, where we focus on our woes. But that's not what David did. He could have. He had every reason to be. He could have been like, man, I had a good job. I was living with my family. I was doing the shepherd thing. Thing was fine. Life was going good. And I get this anointing. And then life goes in the toilet. And now I'm on the run. I'm hiding out in caves. I thought it'd be good. I was going to be the next king. And now it turns out it's been lousy. He had every reason to focus on all those problems. But that's not what he did. Look what he says in verse 8, starting in verse 8. Awake, my soul. Awake. Again, the repeat. So he says, wake up. Snap out of it. Snap out of it, David. Snap out of it. Don't fall into this woe is me garbage. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Verse 9, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. David worshiped God. He allowed this to drive him to worship. He began to worship God when he acknowledged, not just he didn't focus on his own woes, but on God's praise. Our natural response to these problems when we're facing difficulties is not praise, it's complaint, it's griping and all that. But David was very intentional in his worship. Notice that it was almost like a discipline where he's just choosing, I'm going to praise God right now, calling to mind God's worth and all this. And that's my challenge to you today. When we're facing these difficulties and life isn't adding up and we're frustrated with our things, space we're in, to be intentional in our worship of God, to be disciplined in our worship of God, calling to mind God's worth. And you might say, well, Tom, that sounds like hypocrisy. If I'm not feeling it, then maybe I shouldn't do it. But I'd say the opposite. I would say that's the most important time to worship God, to be intentional in worshiping God when we're not feeling it. And then I can move us to the place of worship when we're acknowledging by obedience, acknowledging God's great worth. And that's what David did. He focused not on his woes, but on God's praise. All right. So in conclusion, let's wrap this thing up. We're all as Christians in this weird tension of life. We've been anointed as sons and daughters of the King. And yet life is hard. We face the difficulties and trials, and sometimes that can lead to discouragement. We say, God, I thought it was all going to be so great, and some things haven't been so great. Where our call this morning is to remain steadfast during these times of waiting, and to remain steadfast requires an intentional focus. Intentional focus, not on my abilities, not what I have to offer, but on God's power. Intentional focus, not on my circumstances of fixating and all the issues I'm dealing with, but instead on God's sovereignty. And finally, fixating not on my woes, poor me, but instead on God's praise. City Life Church, we have so much to be grateful for. We have so many reasons to praise God. And we could lose sight of those when we fixate on our problems. Yes, these problems are real. I'm not saying just smile away the problems. We know they're real. But I want you to remain steadfast. Steadfast during these difficulties and trials as we await God's full fulfillment of his promises. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for granting us your anointing. Thank you so much for your promise. And God, I pray for each one of us today that when we forget those promises and we're experiencing the difficulties of this world, you would bring to mind by your Spirit the wonderful truths of your power, your sovereignty, and your worthiness of our praise. God, we love you and thank you for your love expressed to us. In Jesus' name, amen.